It's a famous thing by the Staple Singers by now. And we've been strongly influenced by Roebuck Staples, who is the father, leader, and director of the Staple Singers, composer of this tune. It's called Why Am I Treated So Bad? Thank you. Why am I treated so bad? Those are the new Let the Piano, ladies and gentlemen, featured on that one.
Yes, as Cannonball Adderley said on that last track, that was Joe Zawinul, who died today at the age of 75. He was in the band Weather Report, so a major contributor to the fusion movement, and just an amazing piano player, keyboardist, synthesist, just brilliant. And on that cut, what I love the most about that is it's a Wurlitzer. I own a Wurlitzer, and I just love the sound of that instrument. And he doesn't do much. I mean, he doesn't show off. There's no display of chops. It's all taste, and it's all communicating to the audience, having a conversation with the audience, rather, because you hear them shout back at every single phrase. And, you know, not to sound racist, but you don't get that in white audiences. You don't. I've played in front of white audiences. I've played in front of black audiences. And only in the black audiences do they do that. So it's a cultural thing. But I'll tell you what, it feels so good. It just feels good. Part of it is the, part of it is just the, you know, you feel like you've got an entourage that's supporting every note you play, and they're listening and they're hearing, and, you know, they have to shout, they have to respond. It's call and response. The other part is you feel like you're being accepted into a club, you know, into a racial club, if you will. So there's a whole lot of things, you know, coming from a white person playing for a black audience and being accepted that deeply. It really feels good. I mean, it's a spiritual experience. It's a warm, I really don't know how to describe it other than what I said. It's a spiritual experience where you're communicating with someone beyond words, because words can get spirit is fragile, and words tend to break it. Whereas music, it comes from someplace deeper and someplace possibly higher. And in those situations, when you're getting that feedback from the audience and what you're playing is coming from your soul, those are the moments that, you know, that's why I'm a musician. That's why I do it. And unfortunately, I don't play live anymore. I plan on playing live again, but even, you know, where I'm in Boston, finding an audience that listens like that, it's gonna be tough. But I love listening to that track just because I get off on listening to that audience. And it's something I picked up being a jazz musician. You talk back a lot. You nod your head. You're communicating with the musician who's improvising. They're telling their story, and you'll shout something back. And I've been in audiences where I couldn't help myself, and I'll shout something, and everyone just looks at you, and it's so odd, and everything's so stiff, and you feel uncomfortable. I don't care so much. There'll be a bit of self-consciousness at the beginning, but then I'm like, you know what, if they don't get it, fuck them, because that's what music is for. It's not just let's sit with our arms folded or our hands in our lap and just be quiet and totally pay attention. No, let's be involved, and let's have a conversation. So I love that track, and Joe Zawinul, rest in peace. I'm thinking of your family. And on a tragic day in the history of the world, actually, but more so in the U.S., of September 11th. And I've been remembering that a bit, and I remember the day just like everybody else does, vividly. And I was working as a medical courier, and I was living in my studio, and this studio was in North Boulder, and it didn't have a shower, didn't have a kitchen. I had a refrigerator. Well, actually, I didn't have a refrigerator. I used the refrigerator of my job. And so my job was two doors down from the studio that I lived in. It was this big warehouse complex. So basically, it was a big warehouse. And I had a loft that I slept in. I went to the gym for showers. I had a hot plate and a microwave, so I was able to cook, and I ate well, actually. I ate nutritious meals. There was no problem. I forced me to go to the gym all the time if I wanted to not, you know, be a stinky slob. So I went to the gym all the time to get my showers and get my workouts in. So it was actually a really good time, even though one may seem that I was living a life of privation. I actually thrived. And I remember I had to get up very early, like 6 o'clock. People started rolling in around 7:30 for that job. So I had to get there and I had to sort all this mail beforehand. So I get in, you know, a little after six, I'm sorting the mail. And, you know, I am remembering this wrong, because I did not live in the studio at that time. I lived in Netherlands. That's right. So I took a bus down. You know, I'm going to have to research this a little bit. I'm no good with years and stuff like that, trying to remember where I was in a certain year. But I believe I was in Netherlands, and I had to take the bus down, and I didn't get any news. And I don't remember what time my boss, Ed, came in. And Ed died. He was a great man. He was a gruff in his late 60s. Maybe he was only 65, but he had white hair, seemed pretty old, pretty bitter. He was an IBM employee for many years. And so here he was now doing this medical career thing, because he got, I don't know what happened with his job, but he was a biker. He was in fact the treasurer of some Colorado Bike Association, but he was a great guy, except he was grouchy and man was he moody. But other than that, he was a practice for me, because, well, I appreciated him. You know, I try and be respectful of my elders, and he was my elder, even though he was a bit of a dick, and, you know, he could have learned some things from me as well. I respected him, and I used him as a practice, that I always pretended like he was the Buddha or Jesus or a figure like that, trying to make me lose my cool. And it was a great practice, and I was able to smile at him during those moments when, you know, if I didn't have that practice, I would have fought back. And I know he appreciated that. He really thought highly of me, and we had great fun together. We enjoyed each other's company. I miss Ed. And so he comes in to the shop while I am sorting mail, and he puts the radio on and he says, "Did you hear it?" I'm like, "No." And he mentions that what happened, you know, a plane gone into the Twin Towers, and the details were coming in. People didn't know really what was happening, and it was intense. And I, you know, having been in New York many times and having seen those towers, knowing how big they were, for them to come down, and you know, that wasn't until a little bit later in my job that they came down. And, you know, we had to continue working through the day, and I just remember every face I met. And I worked with some beautiful people all through the hospital, some of the best people that I still think highly of, the administration area that I had to go through. And I got along with everyone famously, and we all met eyes, and, you know, there was an understanding, wow, what had happened. And I'll never forget that. And I'll never forget being, you know, everyone had an excuse to just do nothing for the next couple weeks, but focus on this and focus on each other and try and make sense of everything and process. So we were glued to our TVs for weeks, trying to figure out what was happening, what was going to come. And it was a huge opening that slammed shut in an extreme way that we'll never get back from. We had everybody on our side. The entire world was on our side, and the entire world was looking to us to see what we were going to do. And we had the chance to be leaders in that, and we totally justified in possibly going to Afghanistan or, you know, the Taliban and trying and, you know, retaliating. There was a proportionate response that we could have acted upon, and then we took it too far. We just went, we kept going and kept going, and now here we are in Iraq for how many years now, and 4,000 dead and thousands wounded and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis wounded and who knows how many dead. The count is, you know, if you ask Bush, he'll say it's a lot lower than it probably is. So, you know, I can't help but think of that moment and get pissed, because it could have been something so special. It could have been something that would have really transformed our culture and led the world to something, you know, to compassion. And one of the greatest practices to come out of that could have been equanimity. But we didn't do that. We took that event and used it for our own interests. I mean, it's so sad and it's so maddening, because we're still so divided, and 9/11 is still being used to somehow support this war that we're in now, and it's just wrong. It's wrong. So I've been thinking about that a lot today, and I still can't make much sense of it. And I don't try to make a whole lot of sense of it, simply because I am not a politician. I am not a world leader. I'm a musician. I'm an artist, and I can't speak about it as well as I can maybe make sense of it through sound, through music, through art. So I don't try and I don't have every talking point. I don't have every pro and con of every movement. I mean, I would just take too much time. I just can't do it. But there's a part of me that wants to. There's a part of me that just wants to sit down and try and understand it all. But I think I would have to go back a long, many, many years to understand what is really unfolding now. And I just don't have that time. So for now, I just pray for everybody and hope that change is coming. Yeah, that's about it. Moving on to other news, Katie's back. I'm so happy. So I was gone. She was gone for over 2 weeks, and it was just so, it took forever. It seemed to take forever. But now she's back, so I have my girl with me, and I'm not so stir crazy. I've got someone to talk to. And other thing that I've been getting my mind blown with is Derren Brown, D-E-R-R-E-N Brown. Do a Google search. Go to isohunt.com. Search for some torrents. Download some of his mind control episodes. You can also buy them on iTunes. So if you don't want to bother with the whole downloading and you just want to go to iTunes and buy them, $1.99 each, there's only 6 of them, do it. He's amazing. And he's like a David Blaine, only not so mysterious and magical. Well, definitely mysterious, but it's not magic in the sense of this is possibly real, but like he's straight with you in the beginning and lets you know these are tricks of the mind that I'm doing. These are manipulation, this is psychology, this is what I'm doing, and there's an explanation for everything I do. Now he takes it really far, because he takes it to the point where he doesn't believe in God. He's no atheist, or he's an atheist. And, you know, everything can be explained by these tricks, by this psychology. And so all psychic experience is reduced to this psychology. And so everything I've seen and experienced subtle energetically wise, I'm wondering now, like, what have I experienced, and what of it can be explained by the stuff that he knows. Now, this guy knows hypnosis and NLP, and I'm a certified hypnotherapist and a certified NLP master practitioner, and I know a lot of these techniques, and I don't use them like he does, but I'm thinking about it. But So that's another reason why I'm into this, because I know this stuff, and I love this stuff. It's a passion of mine. And to see him taking it to this level is just so inspiring. So I don't want to say much more about it except for watch it. I might put some torrents up so you can watch some of it. I might put some clips on so you can watch some of it. Just please check him out. And then if you haven't checked out David Blaine, do check that out. I told my brother the other day, if you watch these David Blaine episodes, you will shout at the TV. You will shout at the top of your lungs, no, there's no way, that I can't believe it's happening, because everyone I've seen do watch his show, it's the same reaction. No one can get it. No one can wrap their mind around it. And I mean, makes me want to go into magic. Makes me want to drop everything I'm doing right now and go become a magic apprentice. So that's something I've been blown away. And I'm looking at transmission right now, and I've got a dozen shows being downloaded right now, and some of his ebooks and stuff. I'm into it. I'm obsessed at the moment. The other thing that I finished recently was my office project, Dwight Schrute, The Office Project. And I've posted those on a new section of my blog for videos, my video weblog, vlog, whatever you want to call it. Check that out. It's hilarious. I had to do it in three parts because iMovie keeps crashing on me if I tried to do it with one. So that should make it even easier to watch, because each one's about 7 to 8 minutes, so you can get three bite size. It's hilarious. So that was my first iMovie video project. Actually, not my first, my second. My first was just, I talked about before, I'd done a video for my Absolute Pitch Power customers. This is something else. So it's cool. I'm proud of it. I didn't have to do much except for clip the stuff out of the QuickTime files and paste them together. It was really easy. So it's cool. It's up. Check it out. Let's see. Do I have anything else to share? I don't believe so. Nope. Yeah, I think I'll save some stuff for next time. So praying for the world today on 9/11, praying for Joe Zawinul's family. It's a sad loss. I've got tons of weather report on record, in fact, and I just dug them out off the bookshelf to see them, to look at them. I don't have a record player, so I can't play them. And the album that I played, the Cannonball Adderley Quintet, Why Am I Treated So Bad? I couldn't find it anywhere, you know, download for free, but I did finally find a site, mp3spark.com, I believe is what it was called, that I could download it for like $2-3. Unfortunately, I had to put $25. This is how they get you. You can reload your account for $25. So you know that the tracks, I'm going to end up with a balance there, which is a kind of a pain in the ass, but it was worth it. They've got lots of really cool stuff that if I have trouble finding some stuff, I'll just go there and, you know, actually pay for some music. But I had this on album. It was given to me. It wasn't given to me. I kind of confiscated it from, okay, I stole it from my high school band director, junior high band director, John Kiddick. I'll have to give this back to him. I'll have to send this to him sometime, because now that I have it on MP3, I don't need this album now, and I don't have a record player. And it's in great condition. I hope. I should check that out before I send it to him, because if I send him a bum record, that's not cool. And I'm sure he's forgotten it. But it's a live album. It's fantastic. I mean, it's just got the audience going nuts. I got to look at these liner notes, because maybe that'll give me some better language to explain what I did on my blog post. I posted a transcription. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. A transcription of Cannonball Adderley off this next track that I'm going to play for you, called Mini Mama. And it's another blues, faster blues. And Joe Zawinul is on this track as well, playing the Wurlitzer. And the audience is just going nuts. And it's a great album, Why Am I Treated So Bad, by the Cannonball Adderley Quintet. And I'm going to leave you with that. And think of Joe's family. Think of the world today. And God bless everybody. See ya. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's a new tune of ours called Mini Mama. Mini Mama.